Morning, everyone. I'm Miv, and today the Bible reading is from Matthew 12, verses 38 to 50. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now something greater than Solomon is here. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, 'I will return to the house I left.' When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it 7 other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this wicked generation." While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother."
Thanks, Viv. Well done. So the reading's in your leaflets. It'll be on bits of gumtit. It will be on the screen as well. Well, can you believe Trinity Church Woodcroft is 5 years old already? And I wonder, as a church, are we showing any signs of aging? I'm 50 now, and I'm starting to show those signs of aging that I used to laugh at in my parents. So, for example, groaning whenever you get in or out of a chair. Talking
and yawning at the same time.
That's an old person thing to do, isn't it? Saying that music, I listen to some of music, Miv's music, it all sounds the same. It's all noise. I used to say, my parents used to say something, getting cross when they move things to a different place in the supermarket. Sign of getting old. I've noticed when I see health professionals now, I went to the dentist, I thought they're saying different stuff than you said. I know what's happening here. I'm getting the over 50 spiel now. I'm aging. And I've noticed on my school Facebook page, more than if you have got grandkids already. Signs of aging. Signs. When today's passage, the Pharisees are asking for a sign, not of how old Jesus is, but they want a sign that shows whether or not he's the real deal, whether he really is God's rescuer king, the Messiah. And the thing is, what we've been seeing is as we've been hanging around Jesus in the months running up to this, if you'd have been there with him, you'd have to try really hard to come to any other conclusion than, yes, he is God's chosen one. Because Jesus has been healing, casting out demons, raising the dead back to life, calming a storm. He's been doing mighty works of power and teaching with authority. He's been doing good things and only good things. So it's taking real commitment to not believing in Jesus, that Jesus is from God, by the Pharisees. But they reckon they'll be convinced if only Jesus will give them a sign. You know, not healing someone, not from an incurable disease, not raising a girl who's already died from the dead, not casting evil spirits out of people who've been oppressed for them for years, not stopping a storm in its tracks, making the sea instantly calm. No, not none of that. No, they want something more convincing than that. Well, here's an outline of where you're heading in your leaflets. What are you looking for? What's the right response? What if I ignore the signs? And what if I follow the signs? So let's get into it. First of all, what are you looking for? There are certain things for me which are signs that it's my birthday. And those have changed over the years, of course. It used to be a sign of, it was my birthday, was going out till daft o'clock with friends, dancing all night to very loud music. I still like loud music, but I tend to fall asleep to it on my headphones now instead. These days, a nice birthday is a nice meal out or in a takeaway at home even, and actually preferably lunch rather than dinner, so I can still get an early night. But one consistent sign that it's my birthday, ever since I can remember, at home, Mum, Dad, and in our house now, a big sign, lemon meringue pie. Ooh, yeah, lemon meringue pie. See, I've never liked cream, so lemon meringue pie has always been my favourite. Mum always used to make it for me. Sharon's made some really good ones, and last year, Growth Group got me one from the cheesecake shop. It was very kind, it was very nice. That's a sign it's my birthday. Well, God had promised his people a servant king, a rescuer, God's chosen one, someone who can make everything right again, bless not just God's people, but somehow the whole world. And the prophets had left lots of signs to expect from this servant king, one who would make everything right. And what we've been seeing is that Jesus perfectly fits the bill. All those things he's been doing, healing a leper, healing the centurion's servant, healing Peter's mother-in-law, gathering all people in Capernaum who were sick and healing them all, calming a storm, driving out demons, healing a paralytic man, healing a lady with persistent bleeding, raising synagogue leaders' daughters back to life, healing two blind men, giving speech to a mute man. To name but a few. Signs being fulfilled. That's some resume, isn't it? And if you'd have been hanging around, eyewitnessing all that, how would you explain it? You'd be thinking about what those signs meant. You wouldn't. It's not that you're thinking, oh, did this really happen? Thinking, oh, this stuff's happened. What do these signs mean? But the Pharisees, no, that's not enough for them. Verse 38. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." They're so determined to stick to their preconceived idea that Jesus isn't the real deal. So they have to dismiss all the, signs that they've been seeing and ask for, check notes, a sign. I mean, it's almost funny. It's like, if you've seen Fawlty Towers, it's like the lady on Fawlty Towers complaining about the view. You're in Torquay, it's a view of Torquay. What were you expecting? The Hanging Gardens of Babylon or something like that? It's hard to imagine what sign the Pharisees were expecting that would overcome their determination to reject Jesus. Well, Jesus answers them, "The only signs you're going to get are my death and resurrection." Verse 39, he answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So Jonah, you might remember him, he's like the world's worst real prophet of God. Okay, he did his best not to give his message to Nineveh that God was going to destroy them because of their evil, because he didn't want to give them one last chance. And Jonah's actually the perfect example for Jesus to use for the Pharisees, because Jonah kind of embodies the folly of rejecting God's message. And so Jonah ends up in the belly of a fish before being barfed up onto a beach for 3 days and nights. Now, we don't need to get bogged down in the amount of time Jonah spent in a fish, seemingly not matching exactly the time Jesus will spend in the grave. There's things about the rabbinic way of counting a day and a night were counted if referring to any part of a day. Complicate things like that. But the main thing, the point is, the main similarity between Jesus and Jonah was that they were both delivered alive after 3 days from a deadly situation in which there was no normal hope for life. Both delivered alive after 3 days from a deadly situation in which there was no normal hope for life afterwards. So the big point is, the sign Jesus will give is going down to a place of death to be restored to life, to offer those facing judgment one last chance to be saved. going to death, restored to life, to offer those facing judgment one last chance to be saved. Jesus' death and resurrection. These are the signs we'll be looking at in detail on Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And they're all the signs anyone needs to have faith in to be saved. See, once again, Jesus' yoke, we talked about this in previous weeks, Jesus' yoke, that is handing the reins of your life over to Jesus, trusting him to make you right with God, living for him instead of live for yourself. Jesus' yoke is light compared to any other way of living. Trying to find all your own meaning for yourself, trying to do a good enough job at living the right way according to your religion or culture or personal philosophy, they're all too heavy burdens for us to bear. But finding peace with God and purpose in living for him, it's not about being smart or keeping the rules or uncovering some spiritual secret. Because if it was like that, then only the intelligent or the very disciplined or the super spiritual would be saved. Now, salvation is found in seeing the historical signs of Jesus' death and resurrection, and because of them, having faith in him. Trusting that death and resurrection are for you, are saving you, so that even the simple faith of a child or a bunch of hairy fishermen is enough to be saved. So Jesus doesn't point us to a philosophy or a set of ideas to be saved. He puts himself on the chopping block of history. He goes through events, his death and resurrection, stuff that happened on a day and a time, in a place. You can check them out in the Gospels, and you can keep asking yourself or ask your friends who don't believe, if these things didn't happen, why did Christianity take off? Why do the New Testament writers say, go and ask the witnesses about this? Why do most of the disciples go to their death defending the claim that Jesus rose from the dead? But for most of the Pharisees, these signs, like all the others, won't be enough. Are they enough for you? So it's okay to have real doubts. That's how we work out something is true, isn't it? You know, we question it. We try it on for size. What if it isn't true? What if it is? Prod it, poke it, test it. But we need to do that with honesty, with integrity, in following the evidence. And there's an example of that coming up. No one is ever going to definitively prove Jesus' resurrection to you, but I reckon any fair-minded assessment will show that it's a reasonable thing to believe. For many, they know the claim that Jesus was resurrected. They haven't got a better explanation for why Christianity took off like it did, and are just refusing to let Jesus in. So for our evangelism, for our sharing Jesus, that means we should be more about praying for people and their hearts being softened than we are working at coming up with clever answers to difficult questions. Pray. Again, as ever in this series, I've got to restate, we are not the Pharisees, okay? Jesus is not having a go at you. We are on Jesus' side. And that means the signs of Jesus' death and resurrection are enough for us. They are enough for us. We've seen them and believed. And if you're going through a season of your walk with Jesus that feels dry or uninspiring, well, the temptation is to go away and try and find ways of jazzing things up a bit. And if you aren't feeling dry or uninspired at the moment, one day you will. So what do we do in that situation? Well, we pray, of course. And it may be that God wants us to be going through a season like that where being strengthened and grown and remaining faithful even when it feels less rewarding. But keep returning to these signs. Trusting in Jesus' death and resurrection, they're not just part of your conversion story. They are what keep you going through your lowest points, your highest points, and everything in between. In Colossians 2, 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul puts it like this. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Whatever we're going through in life, be they big wins or big vulnerabilities, well, the Christian life is to bring those things before God and look at them through the lens of these signs that change everything for us. So what's the right response to these signs? The right response, verses 41 and 42. Just get some water. Well, Jesus illustrates the right response with two Old Testament examples. So verse 41. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now something greater than Solomon is here. So notice verse 40 on there, at the judgment. So just as sure as your birthday is coming around again, there is a day of judgment coming. Maybe not on your birthday, but there's definitely one coming. And maybe you can relate to this feeling that I can. At school, right? And you're about to go into an exam or an important test, and someone mentions a topic that the teacher had hinted to everyone was definitely going to be on the test. And everyone's nodding along, and this is news to you. And everybody else has revised that topic because, what do you mean you haven't looked at it? Why not? It was so obvious. The teacher dropped such a big hint that that was going to be on this very important test that you have to pass. Everyone apart from you knew it was going to be on. Have you ever had that feeling? I have. Well, that, warns Jesus, is the feeling that the Pharisees are going to have on the day of judgment. Jesus, being worth their having faith in, has been just so... Look, there's been nobody who's had as much witness to how convincing Jesus is in history as these Pharisees. Maybe the disciples a bit more. But these Pharisees, they'd seen everything they needed to see. They'd had all the hints dropped by the teacher. Yet back in Nineveh, to compare and contrast like Jesus is, Jonah, the world's worst prophet, to preach just 8 words, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown, and they turned away from their evil. The Queen of the South, or the Queen of Sheba, you probably heard her called, she travelled over 2,000 kilometres with a big train of camels and all her entourage to go and check out King Solomon to see if he really was as wise as everyone said. She tested him with hard questions and ends up completely wowed by his God-given wisdom and his palace and all of that. And more importantly, her conclusion to all that is, blessed be the Lord your God. So the people of Nineveh, Assyrians, the Old Testament bad guys, the Assyrians, see a lesser sign, a bloke who stinks of fish guts, and repent. A Gentile queen from a totally different culture, miles away, sees the sign of Solomon's God-given wisdom and worships God. And yet the Pharisees, the very ones who should have been the first to recognize the signs, can't see, that they won't see what is right in front of them in Jesus. And neither of these Old Testament examples started off right with God, did they? You know, the Ninevites, they were convicted with a short message. The Queen of Sheba, she was more cynical, had to come and check things out for herself. But again, she checked out God's king and God's kingdom with an open mind, without an unshakable commitment to being cynical. So another birthday illustration. My 16th birthday. Who can remember the 16th birthday? It's a bit of a stretch for some of you, sorry. My 16th birthday, my 18th birthday, coming of age, and 21st birthday. they were all rubbish. They were terrible birthdays. I'll tell you why. That's because my birthday's in June, and June in the UK education system, that's when all the important exams are. So for those landmark birthdays, they were in GCSEs, A-levels, my uni finals. For those landmark birthdays, I had to take into account the more important reality that those exams were happening. And so I didn't celebrate my birthday properly at that time. I had to take into account the more important reality. So Jesus calls everyone to take into account the reality of his life and death and resurrection, who he is, what he did. To take those signs into account and change course. Respond to the good news. Give yourself to him. Trust him to save you into the best life there is. So the right response is to keep looking at Jesus and respond with the obedience of faith. Trust that the signs are true, the message is true. Trust that the King is wise. Recognize truth and respond in faith, whether for the first time or continuing on. But what if I ignore the signs? Our next heading. What if I ignore the signs? Well, the Pharisees have just witnessed Jesus casting an evil spirit out of a man. And now Jesus uses that kind of event to warn them. So verse 43. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places, seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I'll return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, put in order. And then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this wicked generation. And that's how it will be for the Pharisees. What does he mean? What Jesus is saying about the Pharisees is, look, I've come and been with you, casting out evil. But if one of those evil spirits had left you, here's what they'd find. That you've made yourself all orderly and religious, but you're unoccupied. You're empty. You won't let me in. All you've done is rearrange the furniture. All the signs have been showing you, you've just swept out. See, the Pharisees can't deny Jesus has been doing good things, powerful things. But to see all that in such clarity and refuse to recognize him, to really underneath all that question, that Jesus is good and still refuse him, well, that's clearing out a space to let evil in. That's clinging on to their own sinful desire for self-rule whilst knowing how good Jesus' rule is. So Jesus here is talking to excuse makers, to goalpost shifters, people for whom nothing about Jesus will ever be good enough. And today people try to avoid evil. People end up living really kind of in earthly ways, very good lives, decluttering themselves, trying religion or spirituality, self-improvement. And lots of good in this world can come from that. But critically, they do not want Jesus. They want to stay empty. See, I could throw it back to birthdays, because it's our birthday today. I could throw the best birthday party in the world, you know, endless fairy bread, all the best cakes and food in the world, top DJ, live band, the works. But if I refuse to let attend the person whose birthday it was, well, that'd be really weird. That'd be a farce, wouldn't it? It would turn what could be a really good thing. It's actually a pretty nasty thing. Look at all this fun we're having without you. See, without Jesus, the order in ourselves doesn't work because we're inherently too disorderly. We trash the house over and over. Trying to fix ourselves, it's like trying to prepare our house to survive a nuclear bomb by painting and laying new carpet. And for the Pharisees, it's worse because they've come into direct contact with the solution, with Jesus, and rejected him. But Jesus promised to us, when we recognize his signs, when we trust in them, he doesn't leave us empty and vulnerable. He comes to live in us by his Holy Spirit. However we might feel today, we are never an empty house. We're always full. So that's what if we don't follow the signs. What if I do follow the signs, our last heading? What if I do follow the signs? Well, then we become one of the family. So in verse 46, Jesus is told, his mother, so Mary's there, and his brothers have come to visit. Verse 48, he replied, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Now, let's be clear. In a couple of chapters, Jesus will denounce the teachers of the law for not honouring their parents. So nobody cares more about parents being honoured than Jesus does. So Jesus is not saying that his mum and his brothers, that his family are not important. He's not disrespecting them. What he's doing is provoking us to feeling, for us to feel how we think he should be responding to his mother and brothers turning up. You know, his mum and brothers there. How do we want him to respond? Well, hold on to that tension. Verse 49, pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." So holding that tension with it. So whatever esteem and honour we think Jesus should have greeted news of his family's visit with, that's how he sees us. That's how he's treating us. That's the family status he gives us when we recognize and trust in the signs about him. And listening to Jesus is knowing the mind of God, knowing the will of the Father. So if anyone obeys with the obedience of faith in Jesus, they are revealing that they're in God's family. In God's family. Does your heart skip a beat at that? Whatever you think Jesus owes Mary, well, that's the love he has for you. So to finish, where are you up to with the signs Jesus has given us, with his life, his death, his resurrection? If you're not a believer yet, if you have genuine doubts, keep investigating Jesus, keep following the evidence. Ask me, ask a Christian you can trust. You've probably got good questions to which there are good answers. But in that doubt, just check yourself. Is it because you're committed to not believing the signs about Jesus because of a prior commitment to keeping you in charge of you? Well, I just encourage you to keep looking at what a good King Jesus is. His is a much lighter load than the one you'll give yourself. And if you are a Christian, be assured you have recognized the signs. Jesus' death and resurrection are all the signs that you need. So when you feel dry or uninspired, don't go looking for other things to inject some inspiration. Keep returning to looking at everything through the fact that Jesus died for you, that you're forgiven right with God and was raised for death with you. You have eternal life starting now, loved by Jesus as deeply as he loves his own family. Look, I've had lots of brilliant birthdays since we've lived here in Australia. I've celebrated lots of, been to good parties, had good meals, had great times with people celebrating my birthday and their birthday. But none of those were with my extended blood family, because they all live in the UK. They've all been with families who, to all intents and purposes, we've been adopted into, treated as brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we keep building this church for the next 5 years or however long, we're giving expression to our reality as adopted into Jesus' family. Jesus' mothers, brothers, sisters. That's how important we are to him. And that's how important we are to each other. Let's pray. Our Lord God, thank you that in Jesus you've come into history. You've given us clear signs, done real work that we can put our trust in Jesus' death and resurrection. Pray for those of us doubting that you'll help us to ask good questions and be pointed, be helped in that. And pray for those of us, if we're feeling dry or uninspired, that you'll, by your Spirit, please bring home to us the signs of Jesus' death and resurrection, all that means. And this Easter, we pray that our friends, our family, people we know, and people in this community will hear about the signs of Jesus' death and resurrection and respond in faith. Amen.